Welcome to We Sing Our Faith, sharing the music and ministry of today's Catholic recording artists. I am your host, Julie Carrick, and it is my privilege to share my fellow artists with you. Welcome indeed to this beautiful weekend where we have just consecrated ourselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. And we have also just wrapped up on the Guadalupe Radio Network a wonderful share-a-thon. Man, it has been a busy, busy week and a marvelous past couple of days. On Thursday, if you had the opportunity to watch the wonderful Mass and then consecration where our bishops gathered to consecrate the United States of America to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. And then yesterday on Friday, on that beautiful solemnity, hopefully you had the opportunity yourself to go to Mass and to pray those incredible words of consecration. And not just pray the words, not just say the words, but to truly mean them with every part of your heart. And so today, as we begin this episode, really, I guess, asking the questions, and I love this because my pastor in my home parish here at St. Joseph's in Phoenix, I love when he begins a homily by saying, what, so what, and now what? So that's kind of what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the what, this beautiful consecration that has now happened. And so with that, let's pray together this wonderful act of consecration to the Sacred Heart. And if you need a copy of this and the preparation guide that has been passed around the country for the past few months, please visit our website, wesingourfaith.org. wesingourfaith.org, and we will be happy to email you the PDF version of this wonderful heart preparation, as well as the prayer of consecration and the litany of the Sacred Heart. But let's begin. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, to thee I consecrate and offer up my person and my life, my actions, trials, and sufferings, that my entire being may henceforth only be employed in living, honoring, and glorifying thee. This is my irrevocable will, to belong entirely to thee, and to do all for thy love, renouncing with my whole heart all that can displease thee. I take thee, O Sacred Heart, for the sole object of my love, the protection of my life, the pledge of my salvation, the remedy of my frailty and inconsistency, the reparation for all the defects of my life, and my secure refuge at the hour of my death. Be thou, O most merciful heart, my justification before God thy Father, and screen me from his anger, which I have so justly merited. I fear all from my own weakness and malice, but placing my entire confidence in thee, O Heart of Love, I hope all from thine infinite goodness. Annihilate in me all that can displease or resist thee. Imprint thy pure love so deeply in my heart that I may never forget thee or be separated from thee. I beseech thee, through thine infinite goodness, grant that my name be engraved upon thy heart, for in this I place all my happiness and all my glory, to live and to die as one of thy devoted servants. Amen. We're going to begin today with a beautiful song that I began a couple of months ago sharing. It is O Sacred Heart, O Love Divine, from our dear friend, Alida D'Souza.
Sacred Heart, O Love Divine, whose mercy flows like sacred wine, we kneel before thy throne so bright to bathe
sacred heart, so pierced and torn, you bore the crown, you felt the thorn. In silent pain you bled for me, to set my bound and blinded free.
Oh, sacred heart, a love so pure, my soul is weak, but you endure. Inflame my heart, thy flame impart, with mercy vast, renew my heart.
Oh, heart of Christ, so full of grace, I seek thy kind and radiant face. Though I have strayed, still hear my plea. Oh, Jesus, come and rescue.
Thank you, Alida. So this is the what, right? The what? The consecration to the Sacred Heart. And so I guess that takes us to the next question. So what? What does that mean to me? What does it really mean in my life that I've made a consecration, that I've spoken the words? You know, I like to look at something like this beautiful consecration, this act of consecration, much like a wedding. If the bride and groom came into the church and got married, they prayed their vows, they went out of the church, they had this beautiful honeymoon, and they came back and began to live their lives, but nothing changed, right? What if they each kept a separate house? What if they never prayed together? What if they never spent any time together? What if they had done something not on purpose, but, you know, somehow they offended the other, and then they just swept it under the rug and ignored it like it was no big deal? How long would that marriage last? How long does our consecration last if we don't put into it that lifelong relationship work and to actually be within the heart of Christ? And so what I am proposing is to take the phrase living the consecration, remaining in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And how do we do that? What are those concrete steps that we can take in order to truly live the words that were spoken by us? And God willing, that hearts will be touched around our country, so that maybe now that people have heard that the USCCB has consecrated the United States, it's not just a country that was consecrated. It was the individual people living here. And so how do we live this consecration? Well, first of all, pray it. Secondarily, we put it into practice in our daily life. When we consecrate ourselves to the Sacred Heart, we choose to allow His love to shape every part of our life. Our thoughts, words, and actions become an offering united to His perfect love for the Father. To live this consecration each day, our church encourages us to remain close to the heart of Jesus through very simple and faithful practices. One that is so incredibly important is the frequent reception of the Eucharist. For it is in the Eucharist that the heart of Jesus continues to give himself completely to us. And that, my friends, is going to take us to our next song today. This is from a wonderful friend in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Liz Owen, and her phenomenal take on an old hymn, Panis Angelicus, Bread of Angels. And as you hear her sing this as a duet, you're going to hear not only the translation into English, but an openness to understand who and what we receive in the Eucharist and why it is so important for us to have frequent reception of the Eucharist. So, from Liz Owen, Panis Angelicus.
Bread of angels, now the bread of man. Food that brings all symbols to an end.
Thank you so much for that. And you know, one of the things that we really need to have in order prior to receiving our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament is a soul that is prepared to receive Him. And what I mean by that is utilizing yet another phenomenal gift of our Catholic faith, and that is the sacrament of reconciliation. So to regularly go to confession, so that our hearts may remain open to the grace and mercy that flow from His pierced side. That Sacred Heart of Jesus that was pierced with a lance from which flowed blood and water is that incredible, not only image, but physical manifestation of mercy that flows into this world. And when we have properly disposed ourselves by utilizing this healing and sanctifying gift of grace that comes through the sacrament of reconciliation, we are made more ready. And again, if we use that analogy of the wedding, imagine if the bride were to come forward wearing a dirty white dress, right? What if her dress were all stained with muck and mud and filth, and she walked up toward, you know, her groom, and she was filthy? And the groom was standing there in his tuxedo, but the shirt was all askew and, you know, food drippings on it and whatever. Imagine our souls looking like that. The beauty of reconciliation is that no matter what we go through that creates that darkness within our soul, those stains of sin, that is removed in the beauty of reconciliation, so that our soul becomes this worthy vessel to receive inside of us, into our very being, the beauty of Jesus Christ and His incredible Sacred Heart. So the next song that I want to go to today is one that I wrote with my husband, Kurt. And when we had gone through some very difficult moments in our life where we had hurt each other, and we realized in order to come back to the grace of our sacrament, we needed the sacrament of reconciliation and the grace that pours from it. So as you hear the song begin, you're going to kind of encounter that bit of darkness. But then the light of His purifying grace pierces through the darkness of sin, sheds light upon us, and heals us. So it is a privilege for Kurt and I both to sing for you today our song, Grace.
Love is real. that's for love alone. Your love is real. Lord God, call this broken soul. Jesus, you can.
Such a powerful one. When I think of that that phrase in it, that, you know, take my heart of stone and give me a heart for love alone. That's what we learn in the beauty of this consecration to the Sacred Heart, is that it should transform us. It should transform us to look into our own hearts and to say, God, where do I need to become more loving? In what areas of my life do I need to, really receive more of the love that you are offering? Because I can't give what I don't have. And in order for me to truly be a heart full of love, I need to be in that presence of God on a regular basis. I need to come before Him and spend time with Him, knowing that God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. The more that we spend time with our precious Lord in His presence, the more we are filled with that love and the more that we understand that this Sacred Heart was pierced not just for the multitudes, but for me personally, for you personally. And that is going to take us to one more song that I wrote, and it is the song Adoration. And every time we have the privilege of spending this time with our Lord, whether it be in the Eucharistic Adoration Chapel, if your church has one, or hopefully in a neighboring parish, they have perpetual adoration. If not, at least go into the church and sit in front, maybe in that front pew, and sit close to the tabernacle where you know that our precious Lord is present. And allow Him to speak those words of love into your heart, from His Sacred Heart into your heart. The time that is spent in adoration has such a, it's an unfathomable gift of grace that we receive, and we offer Him our hearts in return. So, from me, your host, Julie Carrick, Adoration.
Come to offer perfect praise to you, to bring a gift of self to offer. Kneeling here before you now, I feel unworthy, Lord. Help me lift my eyes to see you looking into me. To love you, into these eyes that beg to see, into my arms that need your true embrace, into my hearing, all my senses, into every breath I breathe. Soul is longing to be near you. I see beyond the bread your face. Kneeling here before you now, I wonder in the awe. The God of life and grace, I see you looking into me, into a heart that longs to love you, into these eyes that beg to see, into my arms that need your true embrace, into my hearing, all my senses, into every breath I breathe. Jesus, Jesus. Oh Lord, how can it be that you can love me so? Your presence fills this place and my soul. Oh Lord, how can it be that you would give your life for me? I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I love you, Lord. This gift of love that I now offer is the gift of love first come from you. Kneeling here before you, Lord, I know this truth divine. You have set me free. As you are looking into me, into a heart that longs to love you, into these eyes that beg to see, into my arms that need your true embrace, into my hearing, all my senses, into every breath I breathe. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. When we learn to rest quietly in the presence of the one who loves us more than anyone, it is pure gift. As we go along today, again, if you would like a copy of the booklet, please visit WeSingOurFaith.org. WeSingOurFaith.org. That is the site. And you'll see a link there that you can just click on to download that PDF of the Preparing Your Heart for Consecration booklet. Or if there are any special prayer intentions that you would like for us to pray, you can send us an email or you can call us at 1-888-880-6874. Again, that number is 1-888-880-6874. And this week, we just have so many exciting things that we're sharing. Really, one of the beautiful things that came out of this focus, I guess is the best word, of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ this year, just since I've heard about it last year in November, that the USCCB would be consecrating the United States of America to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, was that it requires work on our part. It requires our participation. Much like if, you know, if two people were standing in the church, a man and a woman were standing in the front of the church, you wouldn't expect the priest to ask someone else to say their vows for them. They have to say those vows themselves. Otherwise, it's not a marriage. It's not a sacrament unless they deliberately and personally and mindfully and with free will and with an open, honest heart give themselves to each other. Nobody can do that for you. You have to do it yourself in a marriage, just as you have to do that within this consecration. And so as I wrote the little booklet with a pondering for each of the days of those 33 days of preparation, it reminded me that that little phrase from my pastor again, you know, the what, it's the consecration. The so what, you know, how, what does this mean to me? It means everything. When we have mindfully and prayerfully and thoughtfully brought ourselves to the point of consecration and then speaking those words. And now the what now, you know, what, so what, and what now? The what now is living it. So that frequent, beautiful reception of the Eucharist, regularly going to that healing sacrament of reconciliation, confession, and then prayer before the Blessed Sacrament to be able to be with him in the beauty of adoration. I mean, wow, just what an amazing gift. And before we even go to our next theme or next part of this, I want to share with you one more beautiful song about that Sacred Heart of Jesus truly present within the Blessed Sacrament, within the Eucharist, that we so easily are allowed and just so simply when we come to the church to receive, but then also to spend that time with him in adoration. And so from another good, good friend, Michael Poirier, his wonderful and just, I mean, the voices that you're going to hear along with him are angelic. It's one of my favorite songs that Michael wrote, and it is simply entitled Sacred Heart Song.
Most sacred
most sacred heart
power to rescue me from prisons I have fashioned. Most sacred heart of Jesus, truly present in the Holy Eucharist, I place all my trust in you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for that. It's been one of my favorites. In fact, I think it was the song that introduced me to Michael's ministry decades ago. And over these years, having become friends with him and his beautiful wife, Mary, and to know their hearts for our Lord. There are some of the artists whose music and ministry we share every week that, you know, I never get tired of their music. I love to share them over and over. And, you know, this is one of those pieces. So, Michael, thank you for allowing us to share your music and your heart. And then we're going to go to another focus. Part of living this consecration is that, you know, those more simple things we just talked about, the reception of the Eucharist, regular confession, prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. Well, the other part that really requires the work on our part is the acts of reparation and love. Offering our prayers, sacrifices, and daily duties in union with the heart of Christ for the salvation of souls. Through these simple acts of love, the consecration we have made begins to shape our daily lives. Slowly, gently, our hearts become more like His, patient, merciful, and filled with charity. The Sacred Heart that was pierced on the cross remains open to us always. In moments of joy and sorrow, strength and weakness, we can return again and again to this refuge of divine love. Now, I want to share a story because so many times when I give presentations around the country and I say something like this, right? Through this simple act of love, right? The simple daily routines of life. It's hard to really see how that ties together with a prayer life. And so one of the ways that my prayer life was affected by simple daily duties of life happened to me in the year 1997. So it's been a minute. But my daughter was just in midway of eighth grade, and she and some of her classmates were going to the Little Sisters in Gallup, New Mexico. And she was very upset on the morning that they were supposed to leave because one of the chaperones was ill and could not go. And they were worried that they wouldn't have enough chaperones, and so they would have to cancel. And so she goes, "Mom, you've got to go with us on this trip and be a chaperone." And so Kurt was so willing to pick up the slack in the house with the other two kids while working full time and everything else so that I was able to go. And so, yay, we made our way to Gallup, New Mexico and to the little sisters there. And when we arrived, I was really kind of excited because I figured the work would be somewhat daunting. Because they do things there like care for elderly who live in residence, and they also have a huge outreach to the Native American population that surrounds the city of Gallup. And so I knew it was going to be some work. But when Sister greeted me, she said, "Are you the Julie Carrick who is a musician?" And I said, "Well, yes, I am." And I was pretty excited that she was already aware of the music ministry. And she said, "Oh, well, it's so nice to have you with us." But instead of inviting me to do music, she invited me to the kitchen, where she handed me a paring knife and a whole bunch of plastic containers with lids and a giant case. I mean, a huge, huge case of fruits and vegetables. Like, I'm not exaggerating when I say 3 feet tall, 3 feet wide, all the way around, this massive crate of fruits and vegetables. And when I looked at them, I was kind of appalled. And I said, "Sister, these are half rotten. I don't know where you're getting your produce, but they're ripping you off." And she said, "Well, they're donated. Much of what we have is donated." And so I felt pretty bad for saying anything. And then she continued by saying, "It's actually half good. And what you even consider half bad, we will put to the side to use for composting for our gardens. So even that will be used." Now, mind you, standing next to me was Sister Sheila, who stood barely 5 feet tall. And as I stood next to her, I started to feel like I had shrunk to about 4'6", because I'm watching her as she just joyously moved that paring knife over and over and over into every piece of fruit, every vegetable that she lovingly cleaned and prepared and placed into all of these containers. And after a very long day of doing this, I asked her what her secret was. I said, "What is your secret for such joy when you're doing such a menial labor that is so time consuming and you're on your feet and you're getting a blister on both hands as you do this, and yet the joy in your face?" And she said, "Every time I move the knife and I know that that morsel of food is going to feed someone, I know that in my heart of hearts that I'm doing my part to also feed Jesus should he be standing here." And I was overwhelmed. Like, I truly was overwhelmed. And then the next day, this giant crate came in, and thank God it was at least all new, but it was potatoes. So this giant crate of potatoes. And so I trimmed all of them. I peeled all of them. We made mashed potatoes. We made potato salad. We made scalloped potatoes and prepared them for all of the meals for those next few days that would feed so many people. Finally, on our last day, as we were having mass just before departing, the main sister in charge came up to me and she said, "Julie, would you lead the music for mass?" And I was overjoyed. And I never sang before or since with such abandon to use that gift that God had given me to be a sense of joy within this community. And for myself, quite honestly. And then just before we left to get in our vans to come back to Flagstaff at that time, Sister walked up and she said, "You seem to know your way around the kitchen. I'm curious. Would you tell us what this is?" And she opened up these big pantry doors, and inside of it was a mechanical potato peeler. So it was pretty funny that our Lord, even with a sense of humor, showed me that in the most menial labor tasks, we can find him and we can serve others. And truly, from that day until today, every time I am either preparing a meal or doing something as simple as washing a load of laundry, I thank God for every luxury, for every privilege, for everything that we have in our life, in my life, in the life of my family. And I am grateful. And so as I look into the world now, I find opportunities every day to see that in those simple acts of love, the consecration that we make begins to shape our daily lives. My daily life Although it doesn't stop the frustrations of the world, it allows me to find grace in the moment. Now, I want to go to one more song. And this was written by a friend in Michigan. And gosh, I don't even know how to put into words how much this song means, especially when I think about that consecration and the beauty of how we could look at marriage as a part of that, right? We give our yes, we give our vow, we live that marriage with God in the center of it. And yet God in the center, especially in the Eucharist, in His Sacred Heart, we become fully filled with Him. As we give ourselves to Him and He fully gives Himself to us, it is amazing. And so a friend of ours, Michael Mede, is singing The Voice of Jesus, as I have the privilege of singing the song written, Fully Yours.
For our life together, and a marriage meant forever, seeking my transformation.
Love this one. I truly do. The beauty of the giving and receiving, especially in something like the consecration to the Sacred Heart. We are transformed if we will let ourselves be. There is just a grace and a gift and a strength and a love that comes out of it when we go beyond the words. And before we go to our final song today, I want to speak a little bit about the events that Kurt and I, and here at Carrick Ministries, what we're planning for the rest of this year and into next year. And as I said, looking at something as simple as the novena, that beautiful novena, and then the litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ, and just picking out phrases of the litany and realizing that these wonderful devotions within our Catholic faith, they're beautiful, but they should go beyond the beauty. They should move us into action. Just like going and praying with those sisters and learning how to truly serve changed the way that I look at my prayer life. It's not just when I'm kneeling. It's not just when I am at Mass, but it becomes a part of my daily life. And so what Kurt and I have come up with is a phrase that we like to now call living the words we pray. Living the words we pray. So we have a number of events based on the various devotional prayers of our Catholic faith that we are offering around the country. Of course, not which the least of would be the beautiful consecration to the Sacred Heart, but devotions like the Rosary, prayers like the Memorare, or other special prayers. And so from my book, Incense and Intercession, we're going to be going deep into what it means to live the prayers that we pray, not just say the words, but to live them. And so I hope everyone will take a moment today and go to the website, wesingourfaith.org. WeSingOurFaith.org. That's the site. There you will have the email where you can just click on that tab, send us an email for your parish if you would like one of these events. And of course, the PDF to download for the consecration is there, and all of the details of things that we offer here through Charic Ministries Foundation. And now, the song that is going to take us to the top of the hour, from another good friend, Jamie Teton. It's the perfect way to wrap this beautiful episode up of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ and how we are called to live it, not just say that prayer, because truly by living a life of prayer, every day becomes a good day. So from Jamie Teton, it's a good day.
Too much to do, keep checking things off. Seems like you'll never get through. Life keeps on flying by. Always say yes and never say no. Spinning those plates, round and around you go. Never stop to ask yourself why. But hold on, let's wait a minute. Yeah, it's a good day. Survive. That's what I'm saying. So don't lose sight.
Thank you again for taking this time with me today and every week for We Sing Our Faith. It is a privilege and a joy to spend this time with you. And again, that website for information about not only my ministry or the ministries here through Carrick Ministries Foundation, but for Liz Owen and for Michael Poirier, Michael Mede, and all of the artists whose music and ministry we share each and every week, click on WeSingOurFaith.org. WeSingOurFaith.org. The toll-free number is 1-888-880-6874. And now, until next week, may God bless you and keep you.
Transmitting the treasures of our Catholic faith to your radio every day. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
This is a Messy Family Minute from Mike and Alicia Herman. There's something unique about the love of the parent and child. Nothing can replace it. Your children will have many friends, companions, and peers in their lives, but they will only have one mother or father. This relationship is so special that we need to make sure we never take it for granted or allow anyone to take our place.
Sometimes we get caught up in wanting the perfect youth minister, teacher, or coach for our children, especially as they get older. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, and we thank God for those adults who have come into our children's lives, but no one will affect your child as powerfully as you can.
Parents, remember that the authority you have as a parent isn't because you're perfect or holy or even that you have all the answers.
Because let's be honest, sometimes we're just making this up as we go along.
Instead, your authority comes from the fact that God has entrusted this child to you. Step into your role with confidence, knowing that God will give you the grace you need to be the best parent you can be.
For more encouragement and parenting tips, visit us at messyfamilyminute.org.
Join us in praying an Our Father for the intentions of the Holy Father, our bishops and clergy, and those of religious life. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Have you ever heard someone say the Catholic Church would be okay if it weren't for all the rituals? Why do people complain about the rituals in the Catholic Church? They don't complain about the rituals that fill the rest of their daily lives. They shake hands, they sign their names, they put candles on birthday cakes, they give each other flowers, they put on fancy weddings and somber funerals. Those are all rituals. They are symbols. They are simple ways of representing complex ideas. G.K. Chesterton says ritual is a need of the human soul. In fact, it's a need of the human body, like exercise. Destroy your impressive ceremony, and all you get in return is an unimpressive ceremony.
Spend more time with the Apostle of Common Sense. Visit Chesterton.org for more information.